Blue Jays pitchers and catchers' first workout in 9 days down in Dunedin. A whole bunch of players are probably already down there. In fact, I would hazard to guess like most pitchers. Mike Wilner joins us on the line. Is that correct, Mike? Do you think like most pitchers are already down there?
I would think so. I mean, it's not like it used to be where people used to go down to spring training to get in shape, or, you know, guys used to report on the reporting day. You still have a few who don't show up till then, but most guys have been down there since January.
Really? Since January?
Yeah. Why not? Complex is open. You might as well.
I don't know. I mean, it is still a job. Would you, you know, would you work for free if you had to, if you didn't have to?
Well, part of, you know, it's a 365-day a year job. Getting in shape and staying in shape is key to it as well over the course of the winter. And hey, might as well have people to do it with.
Yeah, but when do they start getting paid? Do they get paid on at the start of the regular season? Is the first pay period? It's not until April.
Right. The first paycheck, I think, is April 15th. Huh. I think they get paid on the 15th and the 30th of every month from April through September.
That's kind of weird. Why don't they just get paid for spread the pay out for the entire year?
I don't know.
Do they get taxed at source, Mike?
They get taxed at source?
Yeah, like do they have taxes deducted off their paycheck?
Of course they have taxes deducted off their paycheck.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just have to write a check at the end of the year. A big, fat check.
An enormous check.
Yeah, okay. I like how this is how we've started our discussion. You never know where it's going to go. But let's...
You want to get an accountant in here?
Yeah, maybe we should. Might need an accountant for Josh Donaldson's arbitration hearing. I imagine there were a few actually in the hearing. Most of them were accountants, I guess. Or lawyers. Somebody who knows a little bit more about money than we do. But so he was asking for 575. Blue Jays were looking at 4.3. They win at 4.3, despite the fact that this is a guy who, you know, outside of Mike Trout, arguably the best baseball player over the last 2 years. But that's just the way arbitration works, because I guess, Mike, part of it is that they don't use... I don't even... Like, hockey, I guess you can call them fancy stats and whatever. I mean, these are... In baseball, it's been so long that they've been in use that they're, like, the actual stats. I feel like you're using fake stats and real stats. Let's just... Don't call them fancy stats. Don't call them sabermetrics. Call them the real stats. They don't use the real stats in these things.
Yeah, but they're not the real stats.
They are the real stats.
No, but they're theoretical.
No. On base is not, percentage is not theoretical.
No, on base percentage is not theoretical. I'm talking about WAR and FIP. And
actually, you know
like
what?
That.
WAR is not theoretical either.
It is.
Depends on if you're talking about pitcher WAR. It is, because you're talking about FIP, which is that's theoretical. But position player WAR. What's the theory involved? It uses OPS plus, right? Which is not theory. That's what you hit. And I guess you could say, like, the defensive and the base running stuff.
Yeah, it uses defense independent stats too. It uses batting average on balls in play. It uses all sorts of things. And when they're deciding arbitration cases, they're looking at historical, you know, what actually happened. A lot of war is what should happen.
I wouldn't say a lot.
It's not insignificant.
Does WAR use BABIP? I don't know if it does.
I don't know the full formula for WAR. I'm not sure more than two or three people do.
Yeah, it's very complicated. Yeah, I'm not even talking about WAR, but like they don't use... Okay, so WAR, I agree. That's still in a discussion phase. You can still have a discussion about not the validity of WAR, but like how much import, because it does have import, no question. And I hate the people... I'm about to go against what I'm about to say that I hate. I hate people that say they hate, you know, the analytics. It's okay. You can dislike them. You can dislike it. You can have an argument about it, but there's no question that it's in the discussion.
Of course. But it's not gospel, and I think that's the trap that a lot of people fall into. Mm-hmm. But regardless, Donaldson's on base wasn't fantastic last year.
Yeah, because he only hit .253 or whatever.
Right. It has more to do with service time than anything else. I mean, if he has this same year next year and the same year the year after, he's going to wind up making $10, $12 million in arbitration. And this was just his first crack at it. And the Blue Jays had lost to Valencia, so, you know, arbitrators try to even things out, and all that came into play in this.
Yes, it does. As yeah, you alerted me to that yeah, that aspect that I had not thought about when we were talking about the Valencia thing is that, yes, these arbitrators are hired by Major League Baseball, so generally they don't want to side too often with the players, and they didn't in this case. So it saves them about $1 million this year, Mike, but there's reports that over the span of team control, which is another, this year and then three more after it, that it could be like $6 million total that it could save the Blue Jays starting off on this foot.
Yeah, it definitely, like every arbitration award, every salary you get works into the next salary you get. The Blue Jays only budget on a year-to-year basis, but sure, in the overall, it could save them a crap load of money over the next 4 years.
Are you happy you don't ever get to talk about Bill Risley ever again?
It's too bad that Bill Risley is now consigned to the dustbin of history.
It's a shame, man.
He was a good Expo.
Yeah, but so now I guess it's Josh Donaldson. Although, like, I don't know. It seems, I don't know. Is he going to go to this every year now for the next three
years? Probably. I don't know. It depends. It depends on him. It depends on his agent. It depends on what they can work out. There's no long-term deal to be had. Maybe after next year when he has 2 years of ARB left, if he has another terrific year and he's like top two in WAR in the major leagues 3 years in a row or whatever, then there's incentive for the Blue Jays to sign him to a 3+1 or something if he's willing to take that. But other than that, they're probably going to go year by year.
And he's obviously he's peeved about the whole process, tweeted yesterday, had a great experience with at MLB Players and my agency, take away a lot of positive lessons, and most importantly, time to grind on the field. And that's clearly written sarcastically, right, Mike?
I don't know if that's clearly written sarcastically.
That was a joke. That was what I said was sarcastic.
What you said was sarcastic.
That was a joke. Like, clearly there's no disdain between either party.
I mean, everybody seems to think that there is, right?
Really?
Yeah. And I think that a lot of that has to do with we remember back, or at least those of us who do remember back to the 80s and the arbitration cases there and Domiso Garcia getting all angry and stuff when he lost. And I think George Bell maybe too, talking about how they went into a hearing room all they did was hear about how terrible they are. A bunch of people have asked me, do you think there are going to be hard feelings, you know, all that sort of thing. And I think it's just so far down now to the number crunchers, and that's all it is. The Blue Jays people go in there and say, look, this is what Josh Donaldson hit. This is what other people with Josh Donaldson's service time hit, and this is how much money they got paid. That's why we came up with this number, and that's why we think this. And his accountants do the same thing on the other side. And that's it. There's no personality in there. There's no, this guy can't do this, and he doesn't do this. It's very simple. It's very, there's no one hopes, no emotion involved in it, and no reason anymore for hard feelings.
So short term, it saves the Blue Jays 1.45 million bucks. Is that money, do you think, that they were waiting to see if they had?
And sure.
Yeah, it changes things, really, for this offseason?
I don't know if it changes things, but I wonder how paralyzed they were until they knew. You know, it's when you're dealing with corporate ownership, you're dealing with, strict budgets and numbers and stuff, and you got to know what you have, and you can't go to a board of directors and say, maybe it's going to be this and maybe it's going to be that.
Yeah, but that's sports.
You know, now, well, that is sports, unfortunately, but then that's the problem with corporate ownership, or one of the problems. But now they know. They lost Valencia, and that cost them, $404.25 million, I think, grand. And they save a bunch of money on this. They saved a bunch of money on Marco Estrada. They beat the projection by a ton in what they signed him for. So now you have cost certainty for the rest of this season, and you know what you can go out and do.
Ooh,
and maybe
cost
it does
certainty.
Impact. Maybe, you know, maybe it allows them to go and go grab somebody the next week or so.
Cost certainty. I haven't heard that since the NHL lockout. Thanks for bringing me back to cost certainty.
No problem.
That's a fun term. Speaking of the NHL, well, you know, the NHL is bringing fancy stats to their website, NHL.com. And I was thinking about it, Mike. Like, first of all, it's all new. This analytics stuff is all new to the National Hockey League, and it's still – there's a lot more discussion about it. And I agree with the discussion about it and the back and forth, and it's very nice between the two parties. But in baseball, it's a lot of it's already accepted, right? Like, on-base percentage is accepted.
It's not an analytic on-base percentage.
No.
It's a statistic. But you know what? I mean, the whole thing with analytics and the fact that it's so such a divisive thing, so polarizing. And I saw a column that some idiot wrote in Texas about basketball and analytics, how analytics don't win games. What people don't seem to understand, or at least what those raging against them don't seem to understand, is all it is just another way of looking at what's going on.
Right.
It's just math, and it's just a way to try to see what happened. And a lot of people like to take it as a way to see what will happen, forgetting that, you know, you're dealing with human beings and there's no way to predict the future. But all it is another way of looking at what happened. And the more different ways we have of looking at what happened, the more capable we are of understanding things.
Yeah, and I'm sure calling that guy an idiot won't help with the divisiveness.
Well, but I mean, it was stupid. I mean, I actually got dumber reading that column.
That's tough to do, man.
Yeah, and I had to I had to rehabilitate for a while, but it's silly, the fact that it's polarizing and that, you know, people turn their noses up at on base percentage or I mean, I understand that there's zealotry on the analytics side a lot of the time, and you know, more of that has to do with the kind of quote unquote angry young man or angry young woman thing. But then on the other side, you've got a lot of people who've dug in their heels as well. And it's unfortunate. I mean, because the best way to do it is to look at everything.
Okay. I wasn't going to go down this road, but you just reminded me of something that, oh man, speaking of feeling dumber, the Marty Brenneman comments, did you see on Joey Votto this week?
No, I didn't.
If this guy comes back and is content to lead the league in on-base percentage again, then this team is in deep trouble.
Yeah, that's terrible not getting out.
Oh, my goodness. That is, I like, the point of the game as an offensive player is to not create outs.
Correct.
Last I checked.
And Joey Votto is the single best player active currently in Major League Baseball at not getting out.
That I mean, I need to read that again. If this guy comes back and is content to lead the league in on-base percentage again, then this team is in deep trouble. Can you believe that? That's still a sentiment that exists.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Oh, for a guy that calls games. I like Marty Brenneman, too.
I remember how much crap Frank Thomas took for taking a walk when somebody thought he should have instead been hitting a home run.
Because it's that easy. You can just substitute one for the other.
Right. Right. It's crazy. So I do understand that, you know, Marty's probably saying he wants Votto to not be satisfied with taking a walk with a runner on third to drive that run in, even though it means getting out. Like it's that easy. Or to hit for a higher average, or, you know, not take a pitch that's an eighth of an inch off the plate because it's a ball, and I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Your job is to put yourself in a good hitter's count. Your job is to not get out because that helps your team a lot. Not getting out helps your team a lot. And it can't be one guy who drives a whole bus. A good team has to have people that you can pass a baton to. And so Joey Votto is hitting second or third in the Reds lineup. You think that if you have any aspirations of being a decent team, you can have a quality hitter hitting behind him to pick that baton up once he passes it.
Yeah, he's good and stuff.
Yeah, if he gets an on-base of .480 again, I think I'd be more than happy with
that. No, the Reds would be in big trouble, Mike.
Yeah.
They missed that. Talking to Mike Wilner, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. So what I was going to say is, why doesn't MLB.com have war? Why don't they have analytic stats on MLB.com? Why don't they own it like NHL.com is going to do?
Maybe because it'll make too many people angry, although I don't know.
Just having information is going to make people angry.
Sometimes it does, but no, I think maybe it's because maybe they don't understand it. Maybe they don't see the validity in it. Maybe it's Major League, you know, it's Major League Baseball who runs that thing.
Yeah.
So maybe Major League Baseball doesn't want to, I was going to say give its blessing, but I don't know if that's the right thing. You know, maybe they just don't want to say, okay, look, this is going to be a big thing now. Because again, there are still, there's, like I said, so much zealotry involved in it and so many flaws in it. And it's, it really is unfortunate.
Yeah, very bizarre. So we've already spent a bunch of time here, but I do want to get to this idea that Major League Baseball might reduce the size of the strike zone, Mike. Now, apparently over the past five seasons, the strike zone expanded about 40 square inches, according to Hardball Times writer John Rogel. Current rate of called strikes nearly 15% higher than it was in 1988, according to Grantland.com's Ben Lindbergh as well. That's pretty staggering. Like 15%, 88. It's almost 30 years ago, but yeah, it's in the ballpark of recency.
Yeah, but they weren't calling a strike above the belt back then, mm-hmm. and that's wrong. I mean, you don't want to make it too easy for hitters. The strike zone, as defined, is from the hollow of the knee, which is the just underneath your kneecap, to the midpoint between your belt and your armpit, basically the letters. And you never see letter high strikes called anymore. You didn't even see belt high strikes called in 1988. So I think, you know, you call the book, make it tough, and that's where the strike zone should be. It shouldn't be this tiny little box in between the bottom of your belt and the top of your knee. It should be the strike zone.
You know what would be an easy way to do that? Just have robot umps.
I think robot umps, as you know, is a phenomenal idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's a phenomenal idea until, you know, the point in which they become aware, self-aware.
Right, and then take over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That would be a problem.
At that point, we'll probably reconsider things, but until we get to
that
point,
we'll get our robot insurance from Sam Waterston.
Yes, we need robot insurance. So pitchers and catchers, 9 days away, 10 games on TV, and you guys are gonna have the broadcast, a whole bunch of them on the radio side,
every
right?
every game will be on the radio or yeah. Online.
Are you going to be calling the games, the weekday ones, online?
Yes,
all of them. Like,
yes.
All nine innings.
Yes.
You and Siddle.
Yeah, because TV stealing Siddle a few times, including the opener. TV is stealing Joe Siddle for the opener that March 3rd against the Pirates. So it's going to be me and I believe my analysts for that game, though not, this is the first time I'm saying this out loud, not confirmed, but probably 90-95%.
Here we go.
My analysts for that game will be Alex Anthopoulos and Pat Henkin.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But the rest of the weekday day games will be me and Joe. Although March break, we're going to be on the radio. So that'll be Jerry and me and Joe.
That is awesome. This is the year, I think, Mike, I'm actually going to make my way down there. Don't quote me on that.
Well, you're more than welcome, as always. You know, I've extended that offer. I'll show you around the Clearwater, Dunedin, Tampa, St. Pete area.
Yep.
It would be, you'll have a lot of fun. Anyone who wants to go down there would have an absolute blast. It's just, I mean, you're so surrounded by baseball. There are a lot of times where you can go to two games a day. There are four spring training sites within an hour's drive of the Blue Jays. And if you want to make it an hour and a half, then I think that number goes up to seven. It's so loose and relaxed and casual. It's just a great time down there.
And more Waffle Houses than you can shake a stick at.
More Waffle Houses than you can shake a stick at. Absolutely.
Michael, thank you for this.
All right.